Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Chad Fulgham, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Also joining us today from IBM is Alan Heath. Chad, would you tell us about the FBI IT strategy and the overarching strategic goals that support your mission? How have you modernized and standardized the use of technology across the agency?
We actually have a published IT strategic plan, and it breaks down into five major areas: infrastructure, information sharing, transforming our workforce, improving IT management, and enhancing that customer satisfaction. The last couple of years, we have focused quite a bit in all these different areas, everything from trying to put together a plan to consolidate data centers. Last year, we completed a project called our Next Generation Network. NGN was a complete replacement of the domestic network at over 800 locations in about a 10-month period. We put out all new gear, all new cryptology. We moved to an MPLS design and increased the bandwidth pretty dramatically. We're now finishing out a second major program called Next Generation Workspace, and that's where we actually did the field first because we try to feed the warfighter first, and we're in the process of doing headquarters now. But it's putting out all the latest and greatest unified communication and collaboration tools. So bringing instant messaging, voice over IP, web collaboration, document collaboration into the FBI's classified network. We have had some major wins in our systems management area, information security, project management. You go down the list of things that we set out to do, we've hit them all pretty hard.
Chad, the FBI requires multiple data centers that are geographically dispersed and mutually supportive. Given your efforts around the infrastructure modernization, could you elaborate on your virtualization and data center management strategies? Kind of how are you trying to right-size that IT infrastructure to be more flexible, adaptive, and responsive to the mission?
Well, you can empathize with me that I'm going to be hard-pressed to lay out the addresses of our data centers. However, I will tell you that we probably have more than we need. And recently, we were able to procure data center services. It's a classified contract, so we're not going to talk much about it. But it's a strategy. It's going to enable us in the next fiscal year to consolidate a number of facilities into this one, and also laying a framework that as existing leases or facilities come up for renewal, we'll actually move into our new strategic data centers to try to reduce our footprint. I know Vivek Kundra has been really trying to push this agenda, and I'm a big supporter of it, and I'm glad that we were kind of out in front of this effort.
To achieve your goals and realize your vision requires the right organization. To that end, would you elaborate on your efforts to reorganize the branch that you lead to make it more business-aligned and service-oriented?
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at the federal government and say, wow, you have a lot of stovepipes. At the FBI, it was really no different. But I think the reason why we have those stovepipes is because that's the way the organization was set up. And so we actually started a reorganization effort few months after I got on board, and we tried to turn it more into a service-oriented and business-aligned organization. Now, it was such a dramatic change to the organizational structure that not just myself and the director had to sign off on it, but we had to go and get the Attorney General and the Hill. That has been completed, and I think it's actually allowing us to try to consolidate some of the teams that almost competed for the same type of work. We also added two areas that I always like to talk about. One is a marketing function. And when I tell people that I added a chief marketing officer and a marketing function to IT, I normally get the lost puppy look. You know, what are you talking about? But, you know, we can create the best widgets in the world. If our customers don't know about it, then there's really no value there. And so we need to standardize how we were going to communicate and what modalities. We were trying to standardize on templates for emails and posters and different strategies to get the word out. The other thing we did is we created a group of people called customer liaison officers. And CLOs are two-person teams that actually map off against my major customers. So I pay for them, but I have two for the national security branch and two for the criminal branch and two, you know, on and on and on. And these individuals actually live with the customers, and they communicate from everyone at the very top level, the executive assistant director, all the way down to the people that are just coming into the bureau. And the goal is for them to understand where we're doing well, what we're doing for them that's helping them, but more importantly, where we're falling short. And those CLOs and bring that information back to the IT branch so we're able to address them. And if the customer has an initiative, that CLO helps them facilitate that project through the governance model. Because if you're a customer, you probably don't want to talk to 15 or 20 different people in IT. You want to kind of have that general contractor that can help bring all the things together to make a successful project.
So, Chad, how much of the reorganization that you just outlined, how much of that was inspired by your private sector experience and the vision that you've laid out?
Actually, quite a bit. I've been fortunate to work in a number of organizations, and I've seen some things that have really worked, and you know, I've seen some things that haven't worked very well. And I try to take the lessons learned from a number of different organizations and brought them together. When I actually sat down with my executives, I had a general idea of what I wanted the organization to look like. Now, not down to the detail, but I knew at a high level what I wanted to accomplish. And the first couple meetings didn't quite get the buy-in. And so, you know, we joke about it now, but we met after hours, many days, and they finally just wore down and came to light. We were able to bring some really good lessons on things that we had seen work really well. And also, I think by having someone come from the outside, it was an opportunity for people to voice their ideas that maybe they just didn't feel comfortable before. And it was a great opportunity for them to say, hey, look, this is what we think, and we've thought for a while, can we try it out?
Chad, you had mentioned the FBI, the warfighters out on the front line. They obviously carry out a multiple and complex mission, and therefore the information technology requirements in your portfolio reflect that complexity. Could you elaborate on your efforts to foster this enterprise view, break down those silos where it makes sense, and what kind of challenges have you encountered or maybe even foresee in implementing a one FBI vision?
Well, the FBI has so many missions. You know, I remember when I came to the FBI, my understanding of the FBI was built off of folklore, was built off of movies and TV shows. So I had the vision of, well, we go after bank robbers and we go after all these traditional missions. And I really didn't know that the FBI was such a big partner in the intelligence community. But we have all these missions and we have all these customer sets that need very unique solutions. And so the portfolio is very large. One of the things that we do is we have something called the Executive Steering Committee. The Executive Steering Committee is actually chaired by the Deputy Director, and then the five of us that are the EADs are the voting members or the feedback or however you want to categorize that. But we try to, at a very corporate level, look at the top IT investments. And that way, we can ensure that where the money is going is where the biggest strategic needs are. Now, one level down is the Investment Management Board, and that's I chair that. The other EADs are voting members. We have memberships from finance and from legal and from security and so forth. But basically, any IT investment has to come through the Investment Management Board so that, again, corporately, we can kind of take a look at where we're putting our resources. I would say that one of the things that we have tried to do is try to pull as much IT out of the other branches as we can. This would be similar to instead of having finance people in every single part of the organization, maybe you ought to have a consolidated finance group that can have an overall view of where the organization is going. And it's similar to what we've been doing with the IT branch.
Chad, with those governance changes that you just talked about with your board implementations, you mentioned your chief marketing officer and your liaison officers try to improve the governance. How does that governance enable you to optimize resources across the department?
Well, the Bureau is the largest component of Department of Justice. I work very closely with Van Hitch, who is the department CIO, and the other component CIOs to figure out where we can actually pull our resources together. So the Executive Steering Committee and the Investment Management Board at the FBI is more about trying to ensure that our resources, limited that they be, are going towards the biggest projects are going to have the biggest impact. Now, at the department level, we try amongst the components to pull our resources together. So instead of each of the components trying to really provide the same service, maybe there are some efficiencies that can be gained by pointing one of the components as a leader and letting everyone else buy from that service, if you will. And so we have tried to do that not only within the Department of Justice, but again, like I said, we are part of the Director of National Intelligence, and we do that with our intelligence partners as well.
Chad, I'd like to explore even further the IT capital investment process at FBI and what you've done to maybe strengthen it and align it more towards its mission. Would you be able to sort of give us an overview, maybe a little bit specifically about how the board interacts and how the operation actually works?
Sure. So in the federal government, your budgets are done 2 years out. So it is difficult to make major changes in strategy outside of that normal finance model, which makes life as a CIO fairly difficult. But within the actual boards themselves, obviously the participants receive prep information before they come. So they should be coming into the board knowledgeable about what we're going to be discussing and actually voting upon. The members of the Investment Management Board and the Executive Steering Committee are all executive assistant directors. So these are five of your top eight executives. And they should know what the strategy is that's come down from the director. They should understand each of their branches and where we need to put resources. And the reason why we have all of them there is that if we're going to put more of our resources towards one branch, that may impact our ability to do investments in the others. And so as a group of executives, we have to make some very tough decisions sometimes to figure out which projects and which strategies we're going to be able to pursue and which ones are going to have to wait until future fiscal years.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about IT security and, in particular, cyber threats. Today, rapidly evolving technology, as you pointed out earlier, increases an organization's IT vulnerability footprint. Would you elaborate on your IT security efforts? More specifically, would you describe the types of cyber attacks or cyber threats you are facing and the steps you've taken to mitigate this continually transforming threat?
So kind of like data centers, this is going to be a very tough topic to talk about. But to try to give a little bit of information, you know, we've really focused in on three areas: our infrastructure protection, data loss protection, and systems management and security tools. In the infrastructure, the Next Gen Network gave us the ability to standardize all of our networking gear, all of our cryptology. We have invested quite a bit in different tools, and it's very difficult to talk about actual products because we normally start off by saying that any partner or product I talk about is not an endorsement by the FBI, the director, or myself. But we made a very large investment last year in systems management and patch management. We had some really great tools, but they were siloed. And they didn't talk to each other. And so we went out and bought what we believe is a best-of-breed systems management framework and a patch management tool that took 50 tools down to basically two. So when you talk about modernizing the software that we're using, that's wonderful. But by reducing the actual number of tools we have, it also streamlined the environment, made it easier for the IT branch, you know, to manage the assets that we had. With our patch management, again, we went out and procured best of breed. And I'll tell you that we run in the mid to high 90 percentile in patch management, which there's no partial credit. And so, you know, that's a pretty good stat. We have a number of other layers of security that will help mitigate any risks that do exist because we do have maybe one patch that's missing on a box or maybe the definitions are an hour late or something like that. And data loss prevention is one that we're also investing heavily in. You can protect your borders, you can protect your assets, but you really have to go after the data that is important to you.
I want to ask a follow-up regarding the systems, the patch work that you've done. What about the culture? You mentioned culture being a big challenge. What about the culture of making IT security an important and vital asset for the folks that work for you?
So I don't really have that problem at the FBI. I mean, we are an intelligence agency, and so everybody understands the importance of safeguarding our assets and our information. Where culture was an issue is when we were moving from product A to product B. And product A just wasn't doing the job, but that's what people were familiar with. That's what they were comfortable with. So when we bought product B and brought it in, we had the, well, we don't want that. That's not what I'm used to looking at.
That wasn't built here.
And you know, that philosophy of it wasn't built here, we can't use it, mm-hmm. it's really nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not how you build a best-of-breed program. But I'll tell you that, you know, after we got the product deployed, after we started using it, after the stats came back, we quickly got even our naysayers to jump on board and say, you know what, that's fantastic. And what's beautiful about that is that you can't go in and fix everything in a month. You can't fix everything in a six-month period. But success breeds success. It's not so much an absolute destination, but it's a journey. And that cultural change, it takes time. But that was one of the first projects that we did that people actually said, maybe we've got something here. It was a great way for, I think, the branch to take a step in the direction that I wanted to go.
How is the FBI right-sizing its technology infrastructure and making it more agile? We will ask Chad Fulgham, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.